How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Review of the Constitution to cap the Supreme Court numbers after President Akufo-Addo nominated two new judges to the Apex Court.
We are being called for to look at the issue of a full complement of the Supreme Court. Should we be 13? Should we be 15? Should we be 20, 40, or 100? I'm urging you to look at this issue during the constitutional reforms or to pass legislation.
We have details on Parliament and the day the Speaker walked out, former Environment Minister and MP for Sikri also for alleged rude commentary on the matter.
You represent the good people of Sikri Uyasu. I represent the whole country. Please, Marshal, take him out of the house. Marshal, take him out of the house.
And Top Story is brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. I want to take you to Parliament right now where there is controversy tonight as the Speaker of Parliament, Adam Babing, has been pushing urgently for some legislative reforms to cap the number of Supreme Court judges still being appointed to that apex court. The Constitution provides that there should be at least 10 judges of the Supreme Court, but there isn't an upper limit. The Speaker's comments today follows the nomination of Justice Sophia Benasco Issa and Professor Richard Frimpong upon to the Supreme Court by the President. We'll get more from him pretty shortly. I want to bring in my parliamentary correspondent, Kwaku Asante. On the day the Speaker walked out, a Member of Parliament, pretty unprecedented indeed, because of his comments on this very matter, after the Speaker himself had allowed this matter to progress with his own preliminary comments, which the Member of Parliament had objected to. Kwaku joins me on the line right now. Kwaku, let's talk about this. Now, did the Speaker give any reason for his commentary that there is an urgent need to reform the Constitution to place this upper limit?
Well, no, Evan, the Speaker of Parliament was making comments right after reading that letter that had come from the President of Ghana nominating those two persons to the Supreme Court. It was during that he made some comments about why he believes that the President's letter had stated that he wanted a certain minimum of judges at the court. The President, the Speaker of Parliament, referenced that and said that the Constitution of Ghana only presents a lower limit. And in fact, if you look at the lower limit the Constitution sets out, that is only 9 judges. 9 judges, the lower limit. It doesn't provide an upper limit. And so the Speaker of Parliament says, given that there's a pension of presidents to continue piling up the numbers, and in particular, President Akufo-Addo appointing close to 20 since he assumed office, he believes there must be an urgent conversation to be had either through a legislation or through the constitutional review reform for a cap to be placed on the number of persons appointed to the Supreme Court.
You have to apply the new standing orders in this matter. And as we proceed on recess, I expect that the committee will sit during the course of the recess to consider these nominees. And any time we resume, we will consider them on the floor of the House to see whether there is any full complement that they want to make sure is maintained which full complement I am not aware of. And so we are being called for, through this letter, as a House, to look at the issue of a full complement of the Supreme Court. Should we be 13? Should we be 15? Should we be 20, 40, or 100? It's for this House to decide. And I'm urging you to look at this issue during the constitutional reforms or to pass legislation to give an upper limit as to how many can be at the Supreme Court of a country of 33 million people.
And what was the reaction to this from the floor? I'm interested in what the minority side have been saying to this.
Well, as the Speaker of Parliament was making these comments, there were, of course, there were a lot of comments going on around the chamber. If you look at Article 128(1) of the Constitution, that says the Supreme Court shall be comprised of the Chief Justice and not less than 9 other Supreme Court judges. But the minority already having signaled that the President seems to be appointing too many persons. We first heard from Emmanuel Amakufo-Buah, who's the Deputy Minority Leader, who said that Parliament would need a lot of time, and he does not expect that these appointments that have come in now will be railroaded. And in fact, Parliament has barely a week to sit before it goes on break and resume later in October or November. He says the House needs a lot of time to be able to go through this process, vet the nominees, present a report to the House before a decision will be taken.
You rightly pointed out the concerns of majority of Ghanaians and frankly members of Parliament on the limits of the Supreme Court judges. And more importantly, Honourable Speaker, we just engage you on the time left for this Parliament to go on recess. We have barely 1 week. And obviously, these are very serious appointments that the appointment committee must do a very good job on. And so clearly, the point you made, in addition to the time we have, so necessary requires that this cannot be considered in this particular session. If we want to do a good job, because practically we are talking about a week and a half to this serious office.
He said we should come back during the vacation.
And so, Honourable, the initial concerns we have.
So that is the Deputy Minority Leader there, Kweku. But on the majority side, the MP for Sitiri also took on the Speaker and incurred his wrath.
Well, yes, according to the Member of Parliament for Sitiri also, the comments the Speaker made were prejudicial to the work that the committee were about to do. He did not believe that the Speaker of Parliament had the right to see the things he did. The Speaker of Parliament did not take kindly to that. He ordered the Marshal in an unprecedented fashion. In fact, I've been covering Parliament for all this while. It's never happened. And the text have also made that it has never happened that the Speaker of Parliament will actually walk out and get the Marshal to walk out a sitting member of Parliament.
With respect to your chair, these preliminary remarks you are making are prejudicial. And I believe that as representing the good people of Sitiri also, it doesn't lie in your mouth to remind us of the things that you said. Thank you.
This is a completely rude remark. And I can send you out of the House now. It lies in my authority to do so. You represent the good people of Sefi Wiasu. I represent the whole country. Please, Marshal, take him out of the House. Marshal, take him out of the House. I will not interject such disrespect. It lies in my mouth.
Kweku, I'm very curious. The Marshal, how did he actually go about doing this, considering that this has never happened before?
The Marshal walked close to the Member of Parliament. The Member of Parliament himself had already picked up his stuff. He was getting out. He got out of his pew and bowed at the mace. And he was a bit slow in going because there were a lot of commentary there. The Marshal then holds his hands and tried to force him out of the chamber because, of course, it was delaying time. The Speaker of Parliament was keen, watching, looking at them, giving the instruction to the Marshal to walk out the Member of Parliament. So at some point, the Marshal held the hand of the Member of Parliament, a former minister, a cabinet minister, pushed him out of the chamber. The Member of Parliament then resisted, threw his hand about, but he obviously then just walked out of the chamber. And then the leadership tried to talk to the Speaker about how to handle this and all that. So those were the scenes in the House today.
What have been the reaction of MPs to this?
Well, the leadership, we understand, are going to take this matter up and conversate with the Speaker and have an understanding. But an NDC MP who is willing now to go on record, because most MPs, being this, being their colleagues, they do not want to go on record. They want leadership to deal with this. But the NDC MP for Yusuf Sulemana says, this is a matter that leadership must deal with, and he believes it must be dealt with expeditiously.
Matters of this nature, sometimes we prefer that they are handled at the internal level, okay? It's an unfortunate situation, but I think that leadership should be able to resolve it. Then we'll move forward. The unity of the House is very important. And so if you ask me whether the Speaker is right or he's not right, I would say that let's see what happens within the next 1 or 2 days. It will be resolved. Thank you.
Have we had any reaction from the majority leadership? Hello, Kweku.
Yes, Evans.
Have we had any reaction from the majority leadership to this?
Not yet. In fact, we understand that they are going to meet the Speaker of Parliament. They are probably going to do so with the Member of Parliament to try and get some understanding. In fact, if you look at the standing of this, once the Speaker of Parliament walked him out, the Member of Parliament could not return to the Chamber of Parliament for the whole of today. He didn't. And so we expect that tomorrow he may do so. But before that, the leadership will try and get some understanding with the Speaker and try and calm the tempest in the House.
Kweku, we reached out to this MP in question, who'll be joining us pretty shortly. Says, well, he's gone home and he's resting at home now, and that is where he is right now. The question is whether he'll return tomorrow or not, as his leadership side try to get the Speaker's attention on this particular matter and register for more protests. We're watching this unfold very closely on the floor of Parliament. Joining me right now is Xavier Kudri. He is the spokesperson for the Ghana Bar Association on that substantive matter of capping the number of Supreme Court judges one can appoint, a president can appoint to the Supreme Court. Also joining me is Roxing Nelson, the Fiamekpo, is a member of Parliament, but also has a stake in this particular matter. He joins me on the line right now. Roxing, thank you for your time here on Top Story. Also to you, Xavier. Hello, Roxing. Do I have you? Hello,
Roxanne.
Great to have you. And were you on the floor when this happened, when the Speaker asked the Marshal to walk out, your colleague from the majority side, the MP for Sesuri also?
Yes, I was. It was in respect of a report sort of directed at the Speaker after the Speaker had raised the germane matter of whether or not we should consider discussing. We should consider discussing the issue of placing a cap on the number of eligible persons to serve on the Supreme Bench of the Republic of Ghana.
You're a member of Parliament yourself. You agree with the Speaker's actions today?
Yes, pursuant to Standing Order 127, I think so. A disorderly conduct on the part of a member who attracts the Speaker's wrath, which will come in the form of a reprimand, or which will come in the form, as we saw today, Speaker asking the Marshal of Parliament to walk a member out. That is the severest form of it. What it means is that some background work will have to be done for the member to be admitted. But pursuant to our standing orders, particularly, I believe, Rule 3 of Standing Order 127, the member will be walked out and will not return to the chamber for the rest of the proceedings for the day.
And it boils down to how you define disorderly conduct. He was just raising a subject on the floor, challenging the Speaker's preliminary comment on the matter. Does that constitute disorderly conduct?
It was not even a challenge, because for you to say that, Speaker, with all due respect, it does not lie in your mouth to just make a comment or to comment on the issues that you have just raised in that manner to the speaker presiding over the house qualifies within the terms of a disorderly conduct. And so if the speaker applies the whip, I think it's in order. He's a senior member of the house. And I think that what happened today will be a guide in terms of the ethics and standards expected of every member to follow.
And there's a view expressed by some members of parliament. I recall even speaking once upon a time to your former minority chief whip, Muntaka Mubarak, who accused the Speaker of Parliament of being a dictator, a tyrant. And there are views that strongly held by others that he's treating parliament and parliamentarians as children and is acting as an overlord. What's your view on that?
I don't think that this feeds into any such perception. If the conduct of the member was honestly disorderly in the sense that if a conduct such as that is not checked, and it's not checked by the chair, then other members could be attracted to respond in equal measure, and it could create chaos. So the remedy provided by standing orders is for the speaker to ask the marshal to walk the member out. And that was the measure the speaker exacted. And almost immediately, it brought back discipline to the floor. And so the parliament, by its own standing orders and by its own rules and procedure, have so many remedies for such situations. And I believe that having been exerted today, the speaker cannot be accused of treating parliament as a school or as a classroom where he presides as a head teacher or class teacher over us. There are clear standards and ethics that are to guide our conduct on the floor. However, agreed you are by a comment by a member or even a comment by the speaker, we are supposed to deal with it in a decorous manner and not to, as it were, held white and make comments that clearly amount to disrespect to the chair.
Stay with me to the substantive matter, and the MP in question will join us pretty shortly. But to the substantive matter, I want to bring in Xavier Kuja now. He speaks for the Ghana Bar Association. This matter is one that the Ghana Bar Association itself has had to deal with recently. And Xavier, so two more judges now, from the communication that we had from the speaker, have now been appointed, gone to the constitutional process of consulting. And also on the advice, as we know, the constitutional process lays out. The speaker is raising the issue again about placing a constitutional limit on the total number of judges that one can appoint to the Supreme Court, the president can appoint to the Supreme Court. What do you make of his stance tonight? Is this one that the Bar Association agrees with?
Evans, thank you very much for the opportunity and good evening to your listeners. If you recall, sometime on your show, I said it will not be out of place for us to place a cap because the constitution gives us only a minimum. It doesn't give us a maximum. So the president can come and decide to say that he wants to work within the tenets of the constitution. But let us also not forget that we have a conventional number that we have been operating with all this while. These two nominees, to me, practically are to replace two retired judges. I think one is here to retire in August, Justice Mariam Owusu and Professor Kute, who retired, I believe, sometime last year, October or so, if I'm right. The CJ's new request for the conventional number to be increased to 20, I believe, has nothing to do with this. But with this additional two nominations, should they go through the process successfully, it will mean that we'll have 17. Then practically, the CJ's request now will not be 5, there will be 3, making it 20, because in her request she was categorical that she wanted a conventional number of 20 to be waiting list. So as to whether we should have a cap by having a constitutional review or to do some other to use some other means to have it, I think it's a public debate that we have to have in this country.
And I'll ask your thoughts on that. What approach should we adopt to arrive at that conclusion, where you stand on what the limit should be? 15? Is it 10? Is it 20? Please stay with me. I want to bring in a member of parliament today who, in debating this particular matter after the speaker had raised some preliminary issues with the two nominees that the president had placed before parliament, got into trouble with the speaker and was walked out. And the speaker asked the marshals to do so. Dr. Kweku Ifrie is MP for Seshu. He also joins me right now on the phone. Dr. Ifrie, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Thank you very much.
Do you agree that your conduct was disorderly, warranting marshals to walk you out?
That was a scream from the speaker. I'm surprised. And still, I haven't even gotten over the shock.
What shocked you?
What shocked me is that I was speaking what I was thinking. And there was no disrespect, no misconduct on my part. In fact, he gave me permission to speak. But you see, what happened, maybe it will take a little bit of your time. Because I thought that the speaker went out of his own remit. When president communicates something to you, especially regard to this appointment, I know the atmosphere has been poisoned. But in this instance, my understanding was that two judges who are going to retire are going to be replaced. And then he proceeded to advise us as to listen to what Ganesh and they and he imputed that there were too many judges on the Supreme Court and whatnot. Look, when it comes to the substance, I have the opportunity to contribute to the debate. I will show that Ghana, our Supreme Court, is not loaded, but that is another day. What I'm saying is that the way the speaker went about this matter, he was supposed to be an umpire or a referee, and then to bring this matter to our attention. Of course, he can advise us on certain issues, but the way he went, he was pursuing a certain path. And he had even given one NDC member even to contribute towards that direction, i.e. that the Supreme Court, there were too many judges in the Supreme Court, and so, and Ghanaians were not angry and whatnot. That thing, he should have left it to us, or maybe you should have called us in a private discussion and drawn our attention to it. I don't think I take strong exception to that, because he should be the speaker, he should be the umpire. And while it was a premature debate that he himself had started, and I don't think it doesn't lie in his remit to do the things that he was doing. Be that as it may, that's an opinion. So appropriately, what happened was I approached another umpire to bring the speaker's attention to some of the things that he's been doing. And this is just by one example. I could give you a litany of so many issues that has come to the floor that the speaker maybe forgets himself and participates as an MP. And then also our rules and procedures, he obviously doesn't stick to them. But me, I want to stick to this matter, which is at hand. So I just went and sat down after conveying my feeling to my leader. But he obviously saw from my countenance that I wasn't happy with what he was doing. So he invited me. You see, the convention in parliament is that if even you say some negative things and the speaker doesn't, you don't speak into the mic and or you will not be called by the speaker, it's nothing. And I was not insulting him. I was saying that. I was telling Eugene, I believe, MP for Subi, that what the speaker, what he's doing, is not exactly right. Then he gave me permission to talk. So I told him, like you have all heard and witnessed. Then he said he took it as an affront. I don't see this as an affront.
It says your conduct was offensive. I mean, telling him, for example, that he's not entitled to the views and it doesn't lie in his mouth when he's giving an opportunity to speak.
Yes, because I was saying that is my opinion. As an opinion, so you even a strong way, I've seen several parliaments debates going on. And if I say it doesn't lie in your mouth, have I insulted somebody? Huh? If you are playing and you are the referee, And you, me, I belong to HAS. I want the whole world to know. And you are teaching Kotoko people how to look at the goalkeeper, how he is, and how to. You think we should sit down? Ah. But this thing, I don't see, if you say it does not lie in your mouth, tell me what is wrong with it.
Yeah, well,
I was raised in the Omanese palace. So. You see, let me say this in key. Akukoni, I get you on so, or Chema, your friends,
meaning,
what I want to say is that, look, we all know, and we all even sympathize with the speaker that his job is difficult. But for heaven's sake, of late, a lot of the things that he's been doing, they are not good. I'm suffer any penalty for it. After all, what? So what I'm saying is that today I was sent out for no good reason.
Well, when you were being sent out, from the report that I got, you appeared to resist the marshal doing.
I didn't resist.
Sending
you
out.
You see, that is where interpretation is wrong. The marshal wanted to walk me up quickly, and I told the marshal that look, me yet my let me do something for Ghanaians to see. So I got closer to the speaker and bowed to him that in spite of what has happened, you know, I respect his chair. Well, look at the place. You see how you people are misinterpreting it. I was raised in the Nakojoti in his palace. And I respect institutions. So I will not be seen as somebody who disrespects institutions. I went and bowed to him. You see the interpretation, I resisted myself. I didn't. I wanted to bow to the speaker chair.
So when the marshal held your hand and was moving you along, you just simply wanted to go and bow to the speaker before you...
Yes, and I did. I've seen the clip. And I bowed to the speaker and the chair. Especially the chair that is sits in. You take my way. Go and look at the clip. It was so important that I did that because you see, when I was trained in the Omanye Palace, when there's a controversy like that, you have to show humility. You have to show that so that you don't leave anything to misinterpretation.
Well,
look at in some perverse way, look at how you are even interpreting.
You talk about humility.
Yes.
Why didn't you show that in the first instance when the speaker gave you the opportunity to speak to him and address him on the matter?
No. As for the matter, dear, we are contesting. If you contest something, why should you see, that's what Ghanaians will complain issues. Look, let me say, with all respect, I have disagreed with my president before. The two presidents have said. No, but I do it with decorum, with all the different antecedents, things that me paucho, me yes, me come again. I will speak my mind. That's me. That's what I mean. I have been insulted. Tell anybody to point out me see me opinion. I'm saying that my opinion is that this thing that he was preferring, he does not lie in his mouth to say that. I can even be wrong. I will be humble enough. But he has no reason to do the thing. His response was extreme. What's wrong? And Ghanaians should see it that way.
What do you plan to do about it if it's extreme?
Pardon?
What do you plan?
Walk me out.
Well, he walked you out. You say it's a stream. What do you plan to do about it?
Pardon?
You say it's a stream. What do you plan to do about it?
What am I trying to do?
What do you plan to do about you being walked out?
No, I don't want to anticipate what I will do in the future. I don't know. In fact, we this thing were over. I don't like drawing.
Have you complained to your leadership at all? Or you?
Yes.
Just...
you don't understand. That is where I went to complain. I want to stick to the substance. So. I don't want to see how I was treated. That one is a small humiliation that I'm willing to suffer.
So you feel humiliated by this?
Yes, absolutely. And the people of Sevilla also. That's why, Mr. Yetitima, that's why I made reference to my constituency. And then he said he represents Ghana. Then I represent the people of Sevilla also. So if you humiliate his their representative for speaking his opinion on matter of procedure and process, that I think I'm not insisting even that I'm correct. I'm not. By my opinion, it was wrong. That's why I'll stand by it.
humiliated, but you will not take any further action.
Oh, but what action? What action is Ghana? We could say. Let's move on, please.
You're back in the house tomorrow, and if you get an opportunity again, you would raise your objections to the speaker.
Why not? I was brought in by the people of Seriosu to express my mind, and I've been like that too. You guys have not been following me. I've not been following even in matters of policy. Sometimes even I disagree with my own government. You guys, I mean, I don't want to blame you. You ask about
the rules book.
Look. San Amitier. Look, this matter. Look, if you want a little bit of the substance, people are saying that so many judges. Look, I schooled in the United States. We have got 50 states. We have got Supreme Court of Louisiana, Supreme Court of Washington State, Supreme Court of New York, Supreme Court of Alabama, Mississippi. Look, Ghana, we are a country of litigants. Do you know that I've spoken to my colleagues, my friends in the judiciary. Do you know the workload on them?
So you disagree fundamentally. So you on the substantive matter.
Let me give you an example.
Because of time, on the substantive matter, you fundamentally disagree with the speaker that we should place a cap on the number of Supreme Court judges.
Well, we can debate the cap, but me, the way the remarks were making and trying to work as a citizen, I wanted an open debate, including such controversial subjects or even LGBTQ and all. They deserve to be heard. You cannot say that under my watch, this thing will be passed. I'm saying this now because when, that statement, I wasn't even happy with that one too. But except to say, that me, no cry, no, I'm against it. And the evidence is there. You have some judge, you know, the contributions are made to that legislation.
Let me bring your colleague, Nelson Ross, in that film. But Roxy, a cap or no cap?
You see? Hello,
Roxy?
Hello?
Roxy, a cap or no cap, Roxy?
Yes, the framers of the Constitution didn't contemplate a cap. And it could, when I began practice sometime 2009-2010 in this country as a lawyer, we didn't have several or divisions of the Court of Appeal outside of Accra. In Accra, we had Court of Appeal, Civil Division, Criminal Division. Today, we have Court of Appeal sitting in other regions. So they come to Parliament and they make the case that they need more judges to superintend proceedings in this court. So if tomorrow it becomes necessary for us to have more Supreme Court judges, that would be the case. But the point truly being made today is whether or not within the circumstances that we find ourselves and within the nature of the case law before the Supreme Court as we speak, do we need additional judges in addition to the judges who are handling matters before the court? That is the argument. And so for me, I'm of the view that we don't need a Supreme Court judge as we speak. And two, hello? Hello?
Yes, I can hear Roxy.
Yes, and two, the recommendation by the Chief Justice to the President is, with all due respect to the Chief Justice, erroneous. The Chief Justice is the chairperson of the Judicial Council. So it is, if there's any recommendation in terms of nominees to the President to be appointed as judges of the Supreme Court with prior approval of Parliament, it has to come from the Judicial Council. So if the CJ had names to propose to be considered for purposes of appointment to the Supreme Court, she ought to have made those recommendations to her own committee, which is the Judicial Committee for Constitution, and not to write directly to the President. That is where the arguments also have been in this matter.